الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates circumstances around us, and sometimes when those circumstances appear to be, sometimes even if those circumstances appear to be difficult, from the difficulty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates circumstances around us. And on occasion, those circumstances appear to be difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the exact same circumstance, can also generate ease. For example, if you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, I think everyone knows the very basic outline of this story, that Musa alayhi salam was born in a very difficult time, and the mere birth of Musa alayhi salam was a threat to Musa alayhi salam. He didn't even do anything, he was just born. And because he was born a male, and Fir'aun at that particular time was slaughtering male children, the mere birth of Musa alayhi salam was a threat to him. Now interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that Musa alayhi salam be placed in a vessel, and that vessel be placed on a river. So it was an inspiration in the heart of the mother of Musa alayhi salam that this is what she should do with her child. So what does she do? She takes the child and she puts the child in a basket and puts the basket on the river and allows the river to carry the child away. Now, that is very, very difficult for a mother to do. Because if you think for a minute, how is a little baby supposed to survive in a river by themselves? The baby can't swim. The baby can't float. The baby can't swim. The baby can't float. Yet Musa alayhi salam's mother is being inspired, or is gaining the feeling in her heart, that she should put this child in a basket in a river. So what is the fear at this particular instance? It's the fear that this river will destroy my child. On one hand, if I keep the child will be detected and will be slaughtered. On the other hand, if I throw the child in the river will eventually overtake the child and the child will die. So there's no escape. So she puts the child in the river. And after she puts the child in the river eventually the child floats and ends up in the hands of the very enemy that she feared. It's just very interesting. She's worried on one hand that the child will be killed. She's worried on the other hand that the child will drown. And the child goes in the water, survives, and ends up in the hands of the enemy that she feared. Now, look, basically this whole story starts with what? The whole story starts with the mother fearing putting the child in the river. So the river becomes a source of stress and difficulty. Now you fast forward the story. You fast forward the story decades until eventually Musa alayhi salam is facing the army of Fir'aun. Now what does he do? He takes the Bani Israel, he leads the Bani Israel, and they're running away from Fir'aun, and where do they come? They come to the exact same river. The same river that his mother was fearing putting him in, the same river that she thought would drown him, becomes what? Becomes the same river that drowns the army of Fir'aun. So this is interesting in this story, that the same thing that the mother of Musa alayhi salam feared is that exact same thing that actually rescued the people of Bani Israel from Fir'aun. In fact, literally the same river. Literally the exact same river. You take another example, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when the brothers of Yusuf, they took Yusuf alayhi salam and they created the false pretense of him being attacked by a wolf, and now he's been killed. They throw him in a well, and they bring a shirt with fake blood on it. So they bring this shirt with fake blood on it, and they present this shirt to the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now the shirt becomes what? Becomes the source of misery. For years and years and years, that shirt becomes a source of misery for the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. He cries and he cries and he cries, and he's saddened and he cries. Why? Because of the blood on that shirt. That became the turning point. And then what happens? Eventually, when the brothers discover that Yusuf alayhi salam is still alive and well, and it's determined that Yusuf alayhi salam is whom he is, he gives what? He gives them a shirt. And the shirt is carried back to the father, and eventually when the father is introduced to that shirt, he's cured again, especially of his sadness, but even of his blindness. So the shirt is the thing that brought him difficulty, and the shirt is the exact same thing that alleviates his pain and his suffering. So from this, what we see, there's many examples. I'm just giving you two very simple examples. But what we recognize from this is that sometimes what appears to be a difficulty may actually, with patience and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may actually turn out to be something that will alleviate us from some circumstance. So we have to be, we can't control, you know, you can't control the variables. All we can control is our relationship with Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all the variables. In the end, we know that. We know that Allah is the one that's in charge of everything. And things will only happen with the decree of Allah. People say, are you not worried about all of the things that are happening in the world today? Because the world is a very crazy place. I mean, the world is up and down in stability, and it's not one thing or another. They're additive. It happens throughout time. No, not. It doesn't bother me at all. But what does bother me, that if we lose our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're dead in the water. That actually is a thing that is very worrisome. Because if a individual is connected with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always alleviate their circumstance, even though it may appear to be very, very dark. But if a person is disconnected from Allah, then there's no helper. Then there's no helper that can help them. So actually, you know, there's names of, there's an event and there's a name, and there's an event and there's a place, and there's an event and there's a time. We don't control that. That is always going to be there. There's always going to be some event and some name, and some event and some place, and some event and some date. That is out of our control. But what is in our control is our connection with Allah. If we remain connected with Allah, if we focus on Allah, if we worship Allah, if we're serving Allah, then guaranteed there's nothing to worry about. And if we don't do those things, then guaranteed we have a lot to worry about. We have a lot to worry about here, and we have even more to worry about there. So the equation is very simple. Although there's all these complexities in time and place and people, and you know that's always going to happen. But what we have to appreciate is that we have to always remain connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will always be the protecting friend of the believer. Like every week we sit down here, you look at this list of adhkar that we recite. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the protecting friend of the people who believe. So what does that mean? It means that Allah is like the one who oversees for the believer. I'll give you an example. If there's a five-year-old, you know, why don't I say it this way? The five-year-old understands this principle. You can learn this the meaning of this ayah from a five-year-old. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. How is that? Because the five-year-old doesn't know what's going on in the world. The five-year-old has no idea what's going on in the world. For the vast majority, when I think back to when I was five, okay, whatever year that was, there was craziness going on in the world then too. That's always there. But I don't ever remember thinking about what's going on when I was five. I don't remember what was this war, what was this political issue, what was the stress of communism, what was the stress of the Cold War, what was the stress of, you know, whatever was going on in the world. There's always something to fill the newspaper. I don't remember any of that. I do remember that if I did something wrong, I would be in trouble from my parents. And if I kept my parents happy, I would get this toy and that toy, or whatever it might be. So what was my focus? What was my world? My world was Allah. My world was my parents. They were my protectors. And if I did something wrong, I was afraid of getting in trouble from them. And if I did something right, I was hopeful of getting a reward from them and, you know, being appreciated by them. That I remember when I was that age. That I remember. So the believer is the same way. The believer's world doesn't rotate around events and names and people and places. The believer's world rotates around Allah. The believer's world rotates around Allah. I'm not saying that that makes you blind and oblivious to what's going on around you. But the primary focus has to always be Allah. If we're worried about circumstances that face us, then the first question isn't how can we adjust those circumstances, because often we can't. Sometimes we can, often we can't. But we certainly can adjust our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should put a tremendous focus on that at our times of difficulty. Now, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she put Musa alayhi salam in the river, but then she turned to Allah. And the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, misery was brought to him by this fake blood on a shirt, but he turned to Allah. And yes, it took time. In some cases, it took a lot of time. But eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplifted them of their difficulty and protected them from anything further. So we are the exact same way. The question that actually should be asked of us is, how can we improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we fulfilled the rights of that relationship? Are we focused on Him? Are we doing everything that we can? Have we created the circumstance in which we are true believers so that Allah becomes our protecting friend? The qualification of making Allah our protecting friend is that we become believers. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the protecting friend of those people who believe. So the qualification here is belief. So we should strengthen our belief, focus on Allah, ensure that what we do is pleasing to Him and that we avoid those things that displease Him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest. Yes, we have to make dua. Yes, we have to be sensible. Yes, we have to recognize what's happening around us. Of course, we have all these responsibilities. I'm not negating those things. But first and foremost, I don't think anybody can argue that the most important thing in any time of stress, and actually in any time of excess and ease, is to remember Allah. If there's excess and ease, then the responsibility on the believer is to remember Allah. And if there's stress and difficulty, then the responsibility on the believer is still to remember Allah. In fact, when there's excess and difficulty, perhaps we, as very unappreciative creation, sometimes need that in order to turn back to Allah. But the response should not be to run from Allah. That would be the biggest mistake that we could make. The response should be that we should increase our worship of Allah. We should make istighfar for our sins. We should make tawbah for our sins. We should reflect back on our life and say, is there anything here that I need to make a real sincere tawbah for? Because I hope that I haven't displeased Allah. That should be the attitude of the believer. We should do everything we can to establish our state of belief, which means that we go through and make sure that we haven't done anything that displeases our Lord. And we go through and we make sure that we're doing those things that please our Lord. That should be the response. So, very, very, very simple basic principle that Allah is our protecting friend and that our focus should be on Him. And that if we have anything to worry about, it is only as a consequence of our disconnection from Him. If we have anything to worry about, it is only as a consequence of our disconnection from Him. And that should be very, very clear in our minds. We should do everything in our power to reconnect with our Lord and to exemplify what it means to be His servant. Everything, the vast majority of difficulties take care of themselves in that context. Most of the difficulties will take care of themselves if we rectify that relationship. Not saying that we don't have other things that we have to address. We do. But this is the underpinning of all of that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us among those who are true believers. And we ask Allah that He make us among those who, for whom He is a true protecting friend. Wa akhirat da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.